Father Robert Barron, a priest of the Archdiocese of Chicago, in reference to the readings this weekend, says that Catholics must say a great yes and a great no to the things of this world, and that sometimes it can seem like a contradiction, but it's actually a balance. We say yes to this world because God created it good. The universe, nature, and Genesis affirms this. Remember, each day God created something, he looked at it, and he said that it was good. And so contrary to some misconceptions about Catholicism, we believe that God created the things in this world good. And this speaks against Puritanism or heresies such as Manichaeism or Gnosticism that seek to kind of escape this life as if the body and the world were bad. Hilaire Belloc once said, "Wherever the Catholic sun doth shine, there's always laughter and good red wine." We like to celebrate. But Catholics are also known for other things, aren't they? In fact, isn't it a common joke that Catholics drink too much or enjoy drinking too much? This is the other extreme. We must say a great no to the abuse of good things in this world. You see, if we go too far the other way and indulge in the things of this world to the extent that we forget the divine, we turn into hedonists. We become preoccupied with the world. We get stuck in just creation and not stuck on the Creator. Nothing in creation, guys, is God. Do you realize that? Nothing in creation is God. And when we take a thing that is created and set it up as the focal point of our life, this is what idolatry is. We set up an idol in our life. Much like the Israelites in the Old Testament asked Aaron to make them a gold calf that they could worship because Moses had gone up the mountain and they didn't know where he was. They said, "We want to worship something, but, well, Moses left us." Sometimes we set up things in our lives that we worship as well. What's your gold calf? What's the thing that when God seems to be absent from your life, you tend to turn to? You see, a Catholic says both yes and no. They say yes to the good things of this world and no to an overindulgence in them. And how this plays out, this balance between yes and no, is given to us in our three readings today. The first from Ecclesiastes, a book of wisdom from the Old Testament, one that's very readable. I highly suggest that, especially being Sunday, a day of rest, take time to read this book. You can sit down and read it in an hour. In this book, it refers to this guy named Koheleth, which is a really cool name. I will give you $100 if you name your next child Koheleth. But Koheleth was actually believed to be Solomon, the great king, who asked from God to have wisdom, more wisdom than David, his father, did. And he did have it all. Here's a list of all the things he had, as the Bible tells us: houses, vineyards, gardens, parks, fruit trees, slaves, flocks, singers. So much silver that it was as common as dirt. Gold shields, a solid ivory throne, a solid gold throne, fleets of ships, robes of the finest material, weapons, storage buildings full of exotic spices. Ladies, most of you have a spice cabinet or a spice shelf. This guy had a whole building for his spices. He had a herd of mules, peacocks, 1,400 chariots, 12,000 horses, and land as far as the eye could see. This man had it all. And in the first reading today, he's grown old. And he's looking back upon everything that he's obtained in his life. And what does he say? It's all vanity. It's all just superfluous. He goes so far as to say, "And why should I give this to somebody else who didn't earn it?" Kind of alluding to the question that's put in the gospel today to Jesus. Tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. And this is why Jesus reacts by giving this story about greed. It was very sad last weekend. I did a funeral for a lady up here at Lake Point Nursing Home. She wasn't a parishioner, but I'd gotten to know her over the years serving her there. And I got a call one day from a man on the west side of town here who said she died and wanted to do a funeral for her. They came in, him and his wife. And I said, well, how do you know her? Because you're not related. And he says, no, we're not. She doesn't have any family, at least none that care to take care of her. And so she had actually asked many years ago this man who was her neighbor at the time to take care of her estate and her end-of-life issues. And he did a wonderful job of it. And then we went to the funeral the next day, and all this family showed up. In fact, some of them sat in the very front row and bawled their eyes out. And I remember talking to the man after the funeral, and he said, where were all these people when she was ill? A lot of people show up at funerals to get their inheritance. Greed rules many of our lives, even in very subtle ways. Paul, in his letter to the Colossians, our second reading, says, think of what is above, not is of what is on earth. And at first glance, guys, it sounds like Paul's saying, you know, we should just think of heavenly things and we should not even think of earthly things. But keep in mind who Paul was. Paul was a tent maker by trade. And keep in mind, there were a lot of nomadic people at that time. You might think a tent maker, big deal. Well, it was a big deal. It was a good profession. A lot of people lived in tents at that time. And so Paul was concerned about putting a roof over people's head, quite literally. He was concerned about providing for their human needs. This is a guy who traveled all over the Middle East and into Europe to spread the gospel. He even wrote a letter, I was reading it this past week, where he says, you know, I work hard for even the food I eat. So he was not disconcerned with the things of this world. But keep in mind what a tent is. You see, Paul had a good balance between saying yes to the things of this world, but no to the things that got in the way of understanding and loving God. He was a tent maker. Tents are temporary. And brothers and sisters, that's what this life is. In fact, Paul goes on to say, this life is like a tent. We set it up for a time and it provides for our needs, but then it's taken down, and even over a lifetime it can become raggedy and fall away. Of course, probably at this moment you're very glad you don't have a tent over your head. Paul goes on to say, put to death then the parts of you that are earthly. Now, if you stop there, it sounds like Paul's saying all these earthly things are bad. But he goes on to specify what he means by earthly. Immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, and the greed that is idolatry. Guys, it's those earthly things that we tend to latch onto and focus on so much that we forget God. Morality is not about shunning earthly things. Morality is about a balance between the yes to earthly things and the no to overindulging in them. Now, in our gospel, Jesus is asked to mediate a dispute about inheritance. I can't tell you guys, you know, priests, we do a lot of funerals. I'm so surprised how many of them come into our conference room over there and there's already an inheritance dispute going on. is sad. And I hope that none of you will participate in that. I've even had people come to me and say, Father, you know, what should I do? My brother won't give me my inheritance. And my recommendation to them is, let it go. Really, let it go. It's not just, it's not fair, but it's not worth it. It's not worth it to focus so much on that money that it drags you down. And Jesus tells this parable in the gospel today to address this issue of greed. What he explains is a guy who's got barns already. I don't know if you caught that. He wanted to actually tear down the ones he had. Meaning, this guy's already rich. He's already got storage. He's got so much grain, he can store it up. And yet, he then has what we call excessive wealth. Way over the top. Way too much. Several months ago, NBC reported that Warren Buffett and Bill Gates, two of the richest men in the world, were leading a group of 40 billionaires to give away half their wealth. These are guys with excessive wealth. Now, I'm not saying those guys deserve to be canonized. They still have billions of dollars. But what Jesus is asking us to do is to give away what we don't need. You see, there were many rich men in the Bible, and it's okay to be rich if that wealth is used for the good of others. Our no has to also be balanced with a yes to the good things of this world. So what is your balance like? What do you tend to say yes to too much? Food? Alcohol? Hobbies? One of the tendencies of Christians is to find something in their life where they've said yes too much and then to totally reject it. And this is not what God wants you to do. We must, as Catholics, affirm the good of God's creation with a hearty yes to all the good things He has created, but must keep a balance with our tendency towards idolatry, to set up the things of this world, the creation, above the Creator. We do this by saying no. You know, a lot of Catholics don't know this anymore, but those of you who are a little older remember that every Friday was a day of fasting, right? You gave up meat every Friday. Sometimes even fish, because in some cultures, fish is considered meat. Did you know that that never changed? What happened was the U.S. bishops many years ago said, well, gosh, our people can go down here to Red Lobster and pig out on fish, so, you know. What they did is they asked the Pope permission to give up something else besides meat. And they got it. And you know what all the Catholics in the United States took that as? Well, gosh, now we don't have to give up anything. Every Friday is a day of fasting, unless that day is a solemnity in the church. It's a chance to say no, even to little things. What do you need to say no to?